So I've got a question for all the video game lovers out there. Are you seriously going to miss out on Alienware's biggest gaming sale of the year? I mean, these are Black Friday prices we're talking about, so it's not just another sale. I took a look, and this is some pretty big bang for your buck. You know, it's Alienware, with some of the most advanced engineering out there, with systems at the top of reviewers' lists. And what about a gift for yourself? Gift yourself a new Alienware 16 Area 51 gaming laptop. I mean, this thing's got performance at the absolute next level with Intel Core Ultra processors. And even better, you can get it during Black Friday. Plus, you can save on all kinds of displays and accessories, like the Alienware 27 4K QD OLED gaming monitor for ultimate visual fidelity. These really are incredible deals on PCs with otherworldly performance, so I'd visit alienware.com/deals soon and grab what you can before their biggest sale of the year goes dark.
Hey everybody, what you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. This game, so it was kind of greenlit in spring of 2007. In September of 2007, it begins development. Guess what game came out in August 2007? BioShock. This game is very BioShock, not in terms of its philosophy, but in terms of its design. Like, there are a lot of BioShocky things in this game, from the person in your ear telling you what to do. Of course, they don't betray you, but you know, you pick up audio logs. The atmosphere is very similar. Like, I think they were very informed by the things that game was doing when we thought that was the future of games.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, there's so much like narrative built into the world you're in. Like, there's so much
environmental storytelling. Right,
that's the phrase I was looking for.
And so much leaking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Water leaking everywhere, like garbage, like
lots of statues of people.
and like broken machines too, and even just the way the chattering teeth laugh at you. I'm like, this sounds like how the Circus of Values laughs at me.
Totally right.
You know?
But yeah, it's BioShock was the most recent thing on the record that they mentioned as an influence. But obviously, these are also on the record. Metroid and Zelda were two things that really influenced them. And thinking about this game, having replayed it all, I'm like, this is just like six or seven 3D Zelda dungeons smashed together with no overworld. Mm. It feels like everything borrows from that kind of gameplay style, but in a very, very fine way, because there's no fad on this. It's just the dungeons. How does everybody feel about that?
I approve.
You approve.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that, but there's not as much puzzliness to it. I mean, the hardest thing you have to do is figure out how to traverse an area.
Yeah, the puzzles are navigation. There's no, like, light the torches or push the blocks or whatever.
Well, so it was an age where they just put your objective marker on things, you know, before. Well, I'm not sure exactly where Dark Souls falls in the whole thing, but it's like, it was just from the design school where it's like, you know, always follow this indicator and you'll get where you need to go.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, before the backlash of that.
That's very BioShock as well, too.
The big glowing arrow on the floor. Yeah, Dark Souls is 2011, and that game was like, no map, no objective markers. You find things on your own, and that was like a big revelation to a lot of people.
But especially if you wanted to play the game as a completionist, like, it was a very Metroid-y game. Like, you so often see a thing you have to go back for because you don't have the tool yet. It's always teasing you with that. Mm-hmm. I think they followed that to its logical conclusion with the Vita Batman game. That
there was a
like,
Vita Batman game?
It was from Origins. That was like straight up Metroidvania. Like,
yeah. Oh, you're talking about Blackgate, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, cool. I think I played on the 3DS.
It was a 3D. Yeah. That actually was even, there's different enough. The Vita game is like, oh, we're almost a PS3 game. But the 3DS one, because it had less juice, they're like, it is just a Metroid entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it even had the map, so it was exactly a Metroid. I'd say the one thing that's very different about this, though, is
in Metroidvanias and Zelda games, you find power-ups. In Batman Arkham, Batman just kind of remembers, oh, I have this thing, I'll have it delivered.
Yeah, the funniest one is just like, oh yeah, I'll have the plane deliver me. The Batplane can just drop this thing off to me. Yeah, I was on the fence about it being a Metroidvania or not, because I know that's the common conventional wisdom about this game, but when I was replaying it, I'm like, I can see why people would think this, and I kind of believe it too. The backtracking in the game is so natural because it naturally leads you back to places you've been before just by the structure of the game. I never really had to go out of my way to backtrack just because of the structure of the game itself. It was actually very convenient in that way. So I think yeah. You can technically classify it as one, but it feels like it doesn't really commit to it too much.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, you do probably go back. There's like giant vines or something there.
Yeah.
So changed up.
And like you said, Nick, that your power-ups are just like dropped off. The things you collect in this game with your Metroidvania style gameplay are like trophies and interviews, things that don't make Batman stronger necessarily. So I feel like that is an element of the Metroidvania experience. Like the things you collect should be empowering your character. And in this case, it really
are you
doesn't.
Saying knowledge doesn't make Batman stronger?
Knowledge is his enemy. But yeah, this game took 40 people, later 60 people, 21 months to put together. And I think they rolled right into city development as soon as they were done with this.
Oh yeah. That game came out, and then I remember, like, by the video game awards, or sorry, no, they were the Spike Awards then. By the time the Spike Awards happened, 4 months later, they had the Arkham City trailer. They're like, yep, here's Arkham City. We're doing this. We're already making the sequel. That they got the sequel out of 2 years is amazing to me.
And it's so big. It is so big. Like, I was looking at this game I played for about 10-12 hours on Steam. I can't tell because I left the game running when I walked away, and so my counter's all messed up. But Arkham City, I looked on Steam, I have 42 hours, and I know I'm like at 54% with all those damn trophies. So a much bigger game developed in the same amount of time. But one thing about this is if you look at the character bios in this game, last thing I want to mention about the development is some of the bios have where the characters come from. In fact, they all do. But some of them are like they're from Arkham Asylum 2009. But there was a comic that a few of these characters come from, most notably the Warden in this game and a few of the guards. They are exclusive fresh characters in this game. And there was a prequel comic that came with the limited edition. It's like 16 pages and it's all online. It doesn't really it's not really that useful to enjoying the game, but it does show you, like, here are the things that happened right before the game began. So that's out there.